than 10 and it is 12:14. I'm conducting an interview with Laura Wasilowski for Quilters SOS Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. We are here in Duluth, Georgia at the Georgia Quilt Show. Laura, your first question.
Yes.
Tell me about the quilt you brought, and you can only have one.
I can only show one?
Yep.
I'm not showing this one. I'm showing this one.
The reason is because we want people to have to, you know, otherwise you want to show a bunch of quilts, but it has to be something that's important to you and has meaning.
Well, this quilt does have a lot of meaning to me. This is called On a Leaf and a Prayer. And this is a quilt. Can you hear me in the back? Yeah, okay. This is a quilt that I made by improvising. I was, I'm a fuser. Everything I do is made with fused fabric. So I fuse a lot of fabric, I fuse a lot of yardage. And one that I would play with both, with joining the leaf with the houses, and I played, and that's why how I ended up with On a Leaf and a Prayer. That's the design, the basis for this design. Can I talk about the stitching?
Sure.
I will not talk about the stitching. I'm really enamored with hand embroidery now. For some reason, it's come on. I've always done embroidery work, but for some reason, on smaller quilts now, I've discovered that if I add hand stitching to it, basic embroidery stitches like running stitch or French knots or any of those basic stitches, that it really brings the quilt to life. It changes the surface. It gives it, it's more textural. It's a way to add pattern and texture and help define shapes. For instance, if you put the little thread window panes on here, suddenly it becomes a window. So I'm stitching straight stitches to make the window panes. I can add pattern in the background to kind of give it that, lift it off the surface more. So I've become enamored with hand stitching. And what I do is I usually use, I'm a hand dyer, so I'll hand dye all the fabric for the quilt. And then I also hand dye thread. And my thread is variegated. So the color sequences change across the length of the thread. And when I add the stitching, I'm using maybe a size 8 pearl cotton or size 12 pearl cotton that I've dyed. And it just makes me so happy when I do this. I can sit around. It's something I can do by hand. It's kind of a strange combination because fusing is very fast. It's very fast. But hand stitching is very slow and methodical. And it's a real combination of slow and fast. So I really enjoy it.
Show the back of your quilt, too.
On the back of the quilt, on the back of this type of quilt, I would put random acts of fusing. Okay? Random acts of fusing is just taking all those leftover fused strips and or fabrics and filling in the back. You may have noticed that this has something inside it. Jody?
Something stiff.
Yes, thank you. What do you think it is?
Well, it's probably not cardboard.
That's right. Thank you for asking, Jody. There's batting in here, but there's also another product called Timtex inside. So when I'm making this type of quilt, it's made with a wrapped binding. I'm wrapping the front around not only the batting, but the Timtex. And that way I can get curvy shapes around the edges. So I stack the batting and the Timtex up together, and I cut them out the same size and same shape at the same time. And then you get a curvy, wavy quilt. You can do circular quilts this way. You can do heart-shaped quilts, whatever shape you want to do. The Timtex keeps it really flat when you hang it on the wall. And what I like about it is, I don't know if you can see this, but all you need is a little loop to hang it on the wall, and it'll hang flat like that. You don't need that stupid rod pocket.
And the other thing I noticed, Laura, is that you have a patch here that says Chicago School of Fusing. That's on the back.
Yes. I am, in fact, a member of the Chicago School of Fusing. I am the Dean of Corrections at the school. And we are advocates of using fusible web to create art quilts. I mean, these are art quilts. They're not functional in any way. Their only purpose is to hang on the wall and be seen. You don't wash these. You would, you know, vacuum it off or shake it out to clean it. So they're non-functional. They're just pieces of beauty to hang on your wall.
Perfect. So tell me, Laura, about your interest in quilt making.
Well, I don't have a traditional background in quilt making. I have made traditional quilts, but I actually learned how to sew through the 4-H system. I was born and raised in Colorado, and I had a wonderful 4-H teacher. She was the mother of one of my friends, and she taught us how to make clothing. So I learned how to sew from her. I went through the whole system until, you know, you're a teenager. And then when we moved to Minnesota, where I learned my second language. And we moved to Minnesota, and I went to college there, and I was put into the costuming department at the school because I knew how to sew, so I could sew the costumes. It was part of a work study program. And when I was there, I learned how to dye fabric in the costume department. So I became a dyer. Right out of school, I was dyeing and printing and doing silkscreen work on fabric and making clothing out of it and selling the clothes, you know, in boutiques and stuff like that. And then when I moved to Elgin, Illinois, which is where I still live, I moved next door to a woman whose name is Janet Dye. And Janet is a quilt maker, and I owe so much to her because she introduced me to the world of quilt making. And she would bring me to shows, wonderful shows like this. And we would go to programs where there would be presenters. And one of the very first presenters I saw was Carol Breyer Fowler. And Carol was doing this thing with hand-dyed fabric. She was making art quilts, which I had never heard of before. And so she was so inspiring that I started using that fabric I was dyeing to make this thing called art quilts. So I gave up traditional quilting. And I've made them for grads. I'm not good at it, let's face it. But I gave that up, and about the same time I met another woman whose name is Melody Johnson. And Melody was, she was interested in fabric dyeing, and I was interested in this technique that she was doing, which is fusing. And so we kind of combined efforts. We formed a company called Art Fabric, and we sold hand-dyed fabrics and threads, but also I started using those fabrics to make fused art quilts. That's the rest is nothing new.
That's great. So how many hours a week do you go to quilting?
I have a business. My art fabric is my business. I make hand-dyed fabrics and threads. I travel and teach all the time. So I'm always developing with classes, or I'm out somewhere at a seminar or at an exhibit like this. I make quilts to sell. I make a lot of small artwork to sell. So I would say probably, how many hours are there a week?
Yeah. I figured that was the answer.
Yeah, at least 10 hours a day or more. It's kind of a, you know, you have, when you're in this business, I love this. I love looking around and looking at all the vendors and stuff because you know they're all entrepreneurs. They're all small business people. They have cottage industries. And I love the idea that quilting is based upon all these different cottage industries, mm-hmm. and they've all evolved and developed they're earning a living by doing this. It's a wonderful industry to be part of. Yeah.
It is. What's your earliest quilt memory?
My grandmother had quilts that she passed down to us, and I still have some of those. And I look at the fabrics that are in them, and they remind me of her and my mother and a little doll blanket that one of my grandmas made.
Have you ever used quilts to get me through a difficult time?
Yeah. Many years ago, one of my sisters passed away, and it was really traumatic. It was very hard for everybody in the family. And it was also the same time that 9/11 happened. So there was all this emotion going on, and it was a real emotional time. So I would take fused fabric and chop it up and rearrange it. And I did a lot of collage quilts. They were called color chip collage quilts. So there's a whole series during that time span where it was very therapeutic to play with color and fabric and to make something that was all, you know, fractured and chopped up and make it into something beautiful. So it was a good time, good experience. It helped me get through that time.
Tell me about an amusing experience that has occurred from your quilt making or your teaching.
My favorite story is about my husband. My husband is he works, of course. So, but one time, we went to the Houston Quilt Show because I needed somebody to help me in the booth. I didn't have a helper. So he decided he would drive down to Houston with me, and we would set up the booth, and we did all that, and he was fine. But he's never been to a quilt show before in his life. So we're all set up, and the doors open, and you know how the herd of people come in. And he looked at the aisle, and at one point he turned to me and he said, "It's women, it's all women." He was so scared. It's a funny thing.
That's a good one, yeah. What art or quilt groups do you belong to?
I belong to a group in Illinois called the Professional Art Quilters Alliance. It's PACA, P-A-Q-A. And it's a group of people in our area. We have people from Wisconsin, Ohio, Iowa, and Indiana. We all meet maybe once a month on the second Wednesday in Glen Ellen, Illinois. You're all welcome. And we get gathered together. Our purpose is not so much to have cookies and cake. It's more about advancing ourselves professionally. So we encourage each other. We mentor each other, basically. So we're talking about teaching. We're talking about how you can turn what you're making into a business somehow. If somebody has experience in pattern making, they'll help other members. If you've published a book, you talk to the other people about publishing and that type of thing. So it's for people that are interested in treating this as a profession.
Wonderful. Have advances in technology influenced your work?
Yes. Well, Fusible Web is an advance in technology, I guess, and although it's been around since the 70s or so, right? So that really changed how I worked from being a piecer to somebody who makes pictorial artwork. What I liked about fusing when I discovered it was I could take that idea in my head and translate it into fabric really rapidly, and I didn't have to piece things together. So yeah, fusing has changed the way I worked.
Describe the place where you work.
I work in a pit. I work in the pit every day. I work in the basement of my house. The basement is pretty nice, though. It doesn't have any outside light, but I have a fairly large laundry room. So on one wall of the laundry room is the washer, the dryer, and a sink. And just behind that is a very large table, about 4x8 table with a plywood top with canvas on top. And that's my printing table or where I dye fabric. There's shelves for the dye over here, for mixing the dyes. There's storage, and then there's a little office space where I have all my files and the computer and my bulletin board and stuff like that. So that's one room. On the other side is a sewing area where I have two large sewing cabinets, and then I have cabinets on the wall for storing quilts. The long quilts are rolled up and put in there. And then there's a large table with that Teflon sheet all over it where it's my fusing table. And I have to stand up when I work, so it's a little elevated, so I stand there. So, and I have a design wall and really good lighting.
Lighting's important.
Yeah.
Tell me how you balance your time.
I try to work on something a little bit. I work in units of time. How's that? So I'll set aside an hour to do computer work. I'll set aside an hour or two to do stitching. I break up my day that way. I try to focus in on what I'm doing at that time and not be too scattered. But I am one of those, I'm a task stacker, you know, those people that like to do multitask. I like to do multiple things at once. So if I'm in my studio, I have to be doing the laundry at the same time.
Fortunately, it's right there.
Yeah.
So you said you do use a design wall.
Yeah. Yes. It's also for photographing the quilt. So I'll design on there, and then I've got lights, so I can also take photos of myself too.
Good idea. What do you think makes a great quilt?
I think a great quilt is something that's well designed, it's balanced, it has all the basic principles of design, variety and contrast and repetition of elements, and it grabs you. When you see it, it grabs you, it sucks you in. That's a mark of a good artist, somebody who can suck you in and keep you looking at what you've made.
What makes a great quilt maker?
Somebody who's appreciates fabric a lot. How's
that? I think everybody here is
yes.
That.
So far we've got a room full of them.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
I'm drawn to, I like Melody Johnson's work because of the color. On the other hand, I like Frida Anderson's work because of the design. She has really rich colors, but she has very elegant design. It's kind of simple, but they're very nicely cut, elegant designing. Are we talking about filmmakers or? I love Van Gogh's work. I love Vincent Van Gogh's work. Any of the Impressionists, because of their use of color and light, and the way they place color next to color, it's wonderful. I'm very fortunate, living in the Chicago area, they have, the Art Institute of Chicago's there. They have a wonderful exhibit of, a wonderful area of all the Impressionist artists. I go down there and get fed every once in a while. It's a wonderful place.
If with your smaller pieces you're doing handwork, with your larger quilts, do you do hand or machine, and how do you feel about hand versus machine quilting?
Well, on a larger piece I would do mostly machine work, although I'm starting to combine hand on and with the machine. But in the small work, because you're holding your hands and you're manipulating, it's easier on a small piece than on a big piece. I'm not making as many large pieces anymore because I don't have as much time, and I'm so caught up in the hand stitching that I only want to make small things.
Why is quilt making important to you?
Well, quilt making is a way for me to support my family, of course. It's a way for me to earn money to support my family. It's also a way for me to travel around the world. I was in Ireland this year, in Great Britain. Next year I'll go to Spain and Denmark. So I get to go to these places that I wouldn't normally get to go to. I get to go to places like Duluth, Georgia. I have never been. So it gives me a way to travel and see things. I get to meet all sorts of really fun people, like Jody and other filmmakers. I really enjoy meeting the other teachers. We share information. We commiserate. We know each other only because we've seen each other on the road. Then I have all these students that have really interesting lives. I've had zoologists and people that have worked at NASA. I mean, they just have really interesting lives. They train dogs. I mean, there's just so many interesting people. I mean, it's a great way to meet a variety of people.
It's just a big guild.
It is a big job.
What do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
Well, of course, traditionally, we use them for comfort and to keep us warm and that type of thing. I think that they join us to the past generations. They cross generations, and they give us that feeling of nostalgia or connection to the people in the past, as well as, to your neighbors and friends. So it's a great way to network socially.
And then thinking specifically of women,
yeah,
the importance of quilts to women. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I think as women, we're tactile people. You know, from the moment you're born, you're wrapped up in fabric, right? So fabric is really important to us. Hopefully you're wrapped up in fabric. Anyway, so we're tactile people, and we like the touch of it, the feel of it, and it's something that women are probably more familiar with than men. I don't know. Because we have the tradition of sewing for a lot of, most women have that tradition in their background.
So what has happened to your quilts? Where are they?
My quilts are in collections from Japan to Great Britain, Spain. They're all around the country. A lot of people buy them, the smaller versions to put in their sewing room or in the walls. I've sold big ones and little ones. Give them away once in a while, and they connect me to people everywhere.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing quilt makers today?
I think the biggest challenge is finding that next gadget that you want. It's very difficult. You have to walk aisle after aisle until someone catches your eye. It is so hard. I know I've been looking for hours already. I've got my eye on a few things. That's my biggest challenge.
Why do we love the Lord?
Yes.
Is there anything you want to add that we haven't touched on?
No, I think this is a really wonderful art form. It gives you so much in your life, and it's a great way to connect with other people and to see the world. And it's just something that has really fulfilled my life. And I don't know what I would have done. I would have had to be a secretary. No offense to all the secretaries. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Laura. This interview was with Laura Wasilowski. Thank you for allowing me to interview you today as part of the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories project on the Lines of American Quilts here in Duluth, Georgia. Our interview is concluding at 12:36.
How are you?
Thank you.
Yay!